Okay, we're on Chav Beis Amid Beis in Chagiga. No. Yeah. Chav Beis Amid Beis. You got it? Okay, we're really 14 lines before the white. No, on this side of the page. 14 lines before. No, start from there. 14 lines before the white lines get wide. Okay, so the Gemara, just very briefly until now, the Gemara was saying that our Ma'aretz, meaning the illiterates, are not believed to say that they table their dishes. And therefore, the Gemara was saying, when a Talmud Chochm, or a religious Jew, took the vessels of an Am Ha'aretz, they always tabled them in the mikveh beforehand to be able to use them. Otherwise, their assumption was they were tamei. But the Gemara said a statement, when it comes to his own body, if an Am Ha'aretz says that he tabled, then you do believe him. Why? Because that's something very easy to fix. It doesn't cost money to go to the mikveh. But some dishes you can't immerse, some dishes you could immerse. So therefore, the Amar is not believed when it's going to be a loss of money. So the Gemara says now...
Which dishes you cannot immerse?
Cheres, earthenware vessels are not immersible. And therefore, he's not believed to say they're tummy, because they're tummy, he has to throw them out. Okay, so now the Gemara asks... You've got to be saying, an Amar is believed when it comes to his body. So the question is he believe when it comes to his body? For Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, Chavish Shabalahazis, if a Talmud Chacham says, I touched a dead body, and he comes to get squirted with the Parah Aduma. Now you have to get squirted on the third day and on the seventh day. That's not long. You tell me 7 days, and the third day you get spritzed with the ashes and water, and the seventh day. So he says, if a Talmud Chacham comes and says right away, you know, I'm Tamei, Mazen Olav Miyad, you sprinkle on him right away. Meaning, what does he say? He comes along and says, it's my third day. So therefore, I need to get sprinkled now. So then is, you spritz him right away. But if an Amaretz comes and says, it's my third day, Ein Ma'azin Olav, you don't spritz the water on him. He has to start again the 7 days to get third and seventh.
Let's say he
comes Tuesday to Besdin, and he says, I became Tommy on Sunday. So now it's the third day, so squirt the ashes on me. So Talmud Chacham, you believe him right away. The Ma'aretz, you say you can't believe him. He has to start counting again. So he has to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So what do you see from there? That Ma'aretz is not believed. Even when it comes to his own body, he's not believed. And you just got through saying that Am Ha'aretz is believed when it comes to his own body. So the Gemara says, Am Ha'abaya, but Abaya says it's different. Miteich shchoymer shachmar ta'ola b'tchilasa. Because of the severity that you gave him to begin with. He kal ta'ola b'seifa, you believe him, you made it easier for him. Remember, this is, we didn't finish this Gemara. We were discussing last time, remember the Ethiopian Jews? The fact that they were told to do Gedus was beneficial for them, even though they thought it was difficult. So same thing, the Gemara answers over here. By making him start again, well, you're basically making them audits believe at the end when he says, I'm done. So the Gemara says, you're really doing it better for him, so now at least you know that he did it properly. Okay, now the Gemara starts explaining another case in the Mishnah. In the case of the Mishnah says, Achurayim v'teich, the outside and the inside, meaning the handle of the keli, are considered separate vessels when regard to truma, but not for kedush. We learned that if you touch one keli, so let's say that becomes a rishon, so then the next keli that touches that becomes a sheni. So now the question is, can you count the inside and the outside of one vessel as two separate utensils, or as one? Now, because there were actually inserts. There weren't like one keli inside and outside. One keli inside and outside is one keli. You're talking about like a crock pot. Okay, so you have the insert and the mechanism. So the Mishnah said that for Truma, it's counted like two vessels. For Hegdish, it's counted as one vessel. That means you touch the outside, the inside becomes tummy. You touch the inside, the outside becomes tummy. By Truma, if you touch one, the other one does not become tummy. So the Gemara says, "My achurayim v'teich." What do you mean when they said the outside and the inside? What does it mean? So the Gemara says it means, k'detran, like we learned in the Mishnah, keli shenitma achru v'mashkin, a vessel that outside of the vessel became tummy with liquid, achur of tmeim, the outside is tummy, teich unay, the inside. I mean, sateich, the inside. Egnay, its rim. The oznay, its ear. The yodav, and its handles are tahar. Meaning, what is an ear? It says, like the handle of a keli that's ear-shaped like an ear. Yeah. Huh?
Or the two ears?
No, there's two types of handles. There's a regular handle, like in a pot. Then you have a pitcher handle that looks like an ear.
It's just round.
It's round. So over there it says, if the keli became tummy on the outside, then it says, the outside is tummy, the inside is tahar. What happened, nitma teche? What happens if it became inside tummy? Kula tummy, the entire thing is tummy. Now, what does this mean? That the outside and the inside, and as the Gemara is going to say, the tzvita beis, meaning the handle of it, are considered as separate vessels only for tummy. Now, meaning, concerning if the keli became tummy inside, everything outside is tummy. If it became tummy on the outside, the inside is not tummy. But that then only applies to truma. For hegdish, even if it became tummy outside, it becomes tummy inside. If it's tummy inside, it's tummy outside. Okay, now the reason, the concept over here is as follows though. Biblically, a vessel can only become tummy from an av hatuma. Okay? A rishon, but that tatzer is a keli, cannot make a tummy. The chachamim came along, and in the Gemara Shabbos, we learned that. The Gemara came along, the chachamim came along and said, if liquid is touching the outside of a keli, even though the liquid is not an av, it's only a rishon, it can make the keli tamei. So the halacha is, if it's a separate keli, the chachamim did not make it that the keli becomes tamei. The inside keli.
The insert.
But if it's tamei on the inside, then everything becomes tamei. For hegdish, outside, inside, there's no difference. If the liquid on the outside is tamei, for hegdish, the inside also becomes tamei. Even though it's only rabbinic. Because the whole tum over here is only rabbinic. Biblically, it can't become tummy. Because a keli, biblically, can only become tummy if an av hatumah touches it. If an av hatumah doesn't touch it, it can't become tummy. The Chacham gave severity to liquid that it becomes even stronger. The Gemara says an interesting thing in Shabbos. If a sheni touches liquid, the liquid becomes a rishon. It becomes stronger than the one that touched it.
If a sheni touches liquid, it becomes stronger than the rishon?
It becomes a rishon.
The liquid becomes a rishon.
Yep. And the same thing, the Gemara says, in the Mishnah said it in Beis HaTzvita. That Beis HaTzvita, we don't know. The Gemara is going to ask, what does Beis HaTzvita mean? But Beis HaTzvita, by Truma, is not Tomei, and by Hegdish, it is. So the Gemara says, my Beis HaTzvita. What does this Beis HaTzvita mean? Amar Rav Yehuda Meshmol, Rav Yehuda Meshmol says, it means, Malkum should save a place in the keli that you hand it to somebody else. When you hand the keli over to somebody else, there's a place you hold it to hand it over. That place is called Beis HaTzvita. But that was like an insert again. The same thing like we were learning just now. It's not the same keli. It's like an insert or a piece to hand it over with. So by Truma, it's considered a separate keli. So if the outside becomes Tomei, the insert does not become Tomei. By Hegdish, the Gemara says it does. And he says, how do we know that that's what Tzvita means? Because V'cheinu Eimed, by Yitzbat Lo Kali, he handed her parched grain. There's a passage that says he handed Rus parched grain. So over here you see the word Vayitzbat means handle, to handle, hand over. So therefore when it says Beis HaTzvita, what part of the vessel are we talking about? The part of the vessel that you hand it over with. Rav Asi says the name of Rav Yechon, it means a different thing. Mokum Shinaki Adas Tzevim. They used to be very delicate people, and they were regular people. Now, the olden times, there was a custom of dipping vinegar or mustard. They used to dip their food into vinegar and mustard. So, the average person put mustard and vinegar in their cup, and then when they wanted to drink, they either spilled out the mustard and filled up the same cup with liquid. They didn't care. You know, the same cup, mustard, drink, it didn't matter. The Kali Adas, meaning the very picky people in Yerushalayim, would never drink from the same cup that they put mustard in. So what they had was, at the bottom of the vessel, there was like a vessel in a vessel, and that's where they poured the mustard or vinegar, and that's where they dipped their stuff into. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what is Beis HaTzvita? It means the dipping part of the keli that people used to dip their food into.
It's the same keli?
No, it was like an insert.
An insert in the keli? They used to drink and have the mustard inside as well?
No. Regular people. No, regular people, they didn't have these plates. They had drinking cups.
Right.
They drank, they put mustard in, they drank. I mean, whatever.
Right.
These people wouldn't do such a thing. So where did they put the mustard and vinegar? They inside a dish, there would be like a little dish. Yeah, I mean, you see them nowadays also, like a little
plastic or something.
Yeah, like a little side dish. Little,
yeah.
Little,
okay. So that side dish is called Beis HaTzvita.
But you're saying
so the Gemara says
in a cup.
No.
In a dish.
Because the meticulous people didn't put mustard in the cup like the average people did.
Right.
So they had a separate place inside a keli that they put. You know, you see it, by the way, you know,
serving dish.
No, do you know that they have a platter of vegetables, and then in the middle they have a little cup with a dip?
Yeah, right.
So that's what the Beis HaTzvita is, according to this opinion.
Oh.
That's exactly what it is, no?
And in that middle thing, you would also put probably a cup. Like sometimes you put a cup with a drink, and at the bottom you put the mustard. Is that what you put?
No, the first opinion, the way Rashi explains it, the way Rashi explains it was that the guys didn't, the regular people didn't have such a thing.
Right, but the fancy people?
Fancy people wouldn't drink from the same cup they had mustard in.
Somehow I thought it's a cup within a cup.
It could be, it could have been that. I mean, I don't know how they made it.
And this for the mustard, this for the drink.
Yeah. But over there, because it's, in other words, from one side it's one keli. But really, it's a separate keli. So therefore, the halacha is for Truma, if that becomes Tamei, the other thing doesn't become Tamei. For Hegdish, it all becomes Tamei.
Even though they're separate.
Now he says, Tanu Rav Bibi Kamed Rav Nachman. Rav Bibi learned in the presence of Rav Nachman. Kol HaKelim Ein La Machurim Etech. All vessels, there's no difference between the inside and the outside. There's no difference. Everything always becomes Tamei. Echad Kachi HaMikdash, whether it's Kachim, or Echad Kachi HaGvul, or whether it's the holiness of the borders. Now the Gemara thought, now, what do you mean holiness of the borders? Truma. So the Gemara is going to ask a question. We just got to be differentiating between Truma and Hegdish. that truma, if the inside becomes outside becomes tummy, the inside doesn't. And by hegdish it does. Yet this halacha says whether it's hegdish or seemingly truma, there's no difference. If the outside becomes tummy, the inside becomes tummy. So that contradicts what we just said. In fact, Amalei said, "Rav Nachman said to Rav Bibi, Kachi agvul my nihu. What is kachi agvul? Truma. That's what he thinks. What is kachi agvul? Must be truma." Vatanan, but we just learned in our Mishnah, Achurayim v'teichu beisat svita l'truma, that it only becomes tamei for truma, but not for hegdish. And here you're saying there's no difference between hegdish and kachi gvul. So l'chayr, how could you say such a thing? So the Gemara answers, it doesn't mean truma. It means chulin shenasu ataras hakedish. Chulin, which is treated like hegdish. So because it's chulin, treated like hegdish, we do not differentiate between hegdish and that chulin. So therefore, if the outside of the keli becomes tamei, the inside becomes tamei. But by truma, itaka doesn't, and if the outside becomes tamei, the inside does not become tamei. Because truma is not as strict as hegdish. Why? Because we're talking about a rabbinic tumah. And if it's a rabbinic tumah, the chachamim were stricter by hegdish than they did by truma. Meaning, by biblical truma, it's either tamei, biblical tuma, it's either tamei or not. You can't play games. Either it's tamei or it's not tamei. When it comes to rabbinic truma, rabbinic tuma, the chachamim could say, listen, hegdish is holier, we're going to be stricter. Truma is less holy, we're going to be more lenient. And therefore, the Gemara came to the conclusion, truma, if the outside of the keli becomes tamei, the inside doesn't, if it's an insert. And by hegdish, if the outside becomes tamei, the insert does become tamei, because it's stricter. Okay, now the Gemara says, now that you're telling me about kachim of the borders, Adkaran Milsa de Omer Rabba Baravu, you reminded me of something Rabba Baravu said before in the Gemara, that said, Achas Esrei Maile Shanukan, that the Mishnah says 11 differences between Truma and Hegdish. And he says, Sheish Rishenis, the first six, are between Kedish and Chulin Shinasa Taras HaKedish, but the last five are only for Kedish, but not for Chulin Shinasa Taras HaKedish. Meaning, we just said that about outside and inside, that there's no difference between Hegdish or Chulin, which is treated like Hegdish. So he said, that's exactly like Rabbi said, because Rabbi said six and five, and this is one of the first six, that there's no difference between Hegdish and Chulin Ataras HaKedish. So therefore, this is in passing. He said, you reminded me of what he said. So again, the Mishnah is just, the Gemara is just explaining the Mishnah, that for Truma, the Chachamim were more lenient with Tuma than they were for Kedish. For Hegdish, they were more Machmir. And like we learned in the Gemara, anytime you tevel for a lesser tuma, it's not good for a big worse tuma. If you tevel for a worse tuma, it's better for the lesser tuma. But the Chachamim b'Feirush, and this is what this whole Gemara is going through, that the rabbis differentiated between the various levels of kedusha of how much something is tummy. The holier it is, the more tummy it gets. And this is a very interesting din. There's an interesting din about Yom Kippur or Bechlal. Goyim, you know, Jew has to wash an agavas in the morning. Yeah? Goyim don't. L'chayra, you know, people are careful by Jews that you don't touch food if there's no, if you don't wash an agavas. Yeah? By Goyim, nobody cares. The guy in the fruit store puts out the fruit and the guy doesn't wash an agavas, and nobody seems to care.
Halacha. Because there's no issue.
But why not? The
chayra. The doesn't get
why, but that, I'm saying, why not?
No,
so the answer is, tumah sets in more where there's Kedusha and the Kedusha leaves.
And Kedusha leaves?
Leaves.
Yeah, like the body of a Jewish corpse. The corpse of a Jew is more tumid than...
Well, halachically, even the corpse of a Goy is tummy. But I'm saying, when a Jew goes to sleep at night, the neshama leaves the body, so tumah sets in. So when you get up in the morning and the tumah leaves, it still sticks around the fingernails. So you have to wash them off. But by a guy, because there's no kedusha to begin with, when the guy goes to sleep at night, no tumah sets in.
Sets in place of what? The
neshama? Yeah. We're picturing it. They went up on an elevator, three stories, and the tumah took the down elevator. I mean, you're talking spiritual presence, not the physical presence. So there's a stricter level of tumah by holier things than there is by lesser things. And therefore, like we said, the Chacham was stricter by Hegdish in their Tumah than they were by Truma.
So there's no difference between a Jewish corpse and a Jew?
They're both Tummy.
Equally?
Yeah. The difference is, according to many opinions, and that's the Halacha, is if it's under the same roof. Not touching. If you touch the corpse of a dead body, a guy, you still become Tummy. But if you're under the same roof with the body of a dead guy, then you don't become... Well, it's an argument, and the halacha is you don't become tummy.
Go ahead, anything together?
No. If a Jew is under the same roof as a guy.
Okay. It's a dead guy.
A dead guy.
A good guy.
I didn't say that. Okay, next Gemara. It said in the Mishnah, Anesis HaMidras, if somebody carries a Midras. Now, here. Midras? Midras? Why? What language is that?
There's an Indian word for this type of cloth called madras.
Is it cloth? A madras is an article which is supported in any of various ways the weight of a zav, zava, or nida. That means
if a
mattress, a shoe.
So
it supports the weight. So midras refers to any object that a talmidic person, like a nida or zav or zava, was carried the weight. Okay.
Would that include like a concrete bench?
If they sat in it, yeah.
Really, if it's immovable?
No, if it's movable, it's not mekabel tummy.
If it's movable,
it's a movable article. Has to be.
Movable.
Yeah.
It has to be movable.
Yeah. So now, in the Mishnah, said it in like this. If you're carrying a midras in one hand, let's see, for practical purposes, I'm going to call a midras a shoe. Okay, but it just makes it easier. If you're carrying a tamidika shoe in one hand, you're allowed to carry truma in the other hand, but you can't carry hegdish in the other hand. Hmm. Now, they're not even touching, don't forget. Okay? They're not touching. But the Mishnah said, Hanesis HaMidras, if somebody is carrying a Midras, again, it could be anything. Nesis HaTruma, you can carry Truma, but obviously you have to be careful not to touch one another. Avoleis HaKedish, but we're not when it comes to Kedish. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Kedish my time alay, why can't you carry it? They're not touching, what do you care? They're not touching each other, why can't you hold them both together? So the Gemara says, Mishum Maisa Shahaya, because an incident once occurred. And it's very interesting the way the Chachamim worked. When something happened, they made a Gzeira.
Yeah.
One incident happened, that's it. They made a Gzeira. So many stories in the Gemara. A story, something happened, that's it. They made a Gzeira. What was the story? Ma'isa be'echad. There was one guy. Shayamavir chavish shayayin kedish mimakim lamakim. He was carrying a barrel of wine from Hegdish from place to place. What happened? V'nifzikar rotsua. Top of the page. His shoelace broke. V'natla v'nichal piachavis. And he took the shoelace and put it on the mouth of the barrel. And now the shoelace was tummy. Because he was tummy. So his shoe is tummy. So the shoelace is tummy. So when he bent down, when the shoelace tore, he bent down and put it up on top of the barrel, and it fell into the barrel. Oh. So what happened? It fell into the airspace of the barrel, and therefore, which made everything tummy. So because it once happened, at that moment, the Chachamim said, you know what? Hanesis ha-midras. If you carry midras, nesis ha-trum, you can carry trum, avolayas ha-kedish, but not kedish.
The guy was tummy? The guy himself.
Yeah.
Yet he held...
Whether he was... Well, the sandal was a midras of his of. The sandal was tummy.
Why didn't they apply to truma?
Oh, Smar says, Ihachi truma nami. So, if so, the same thing should be by truma. Huh. Right?
You're careful with truma.
What? No, 1 second. No. Well, Hegdish is holier than truma. So, but the Gemara said, but if that's the case, so that would have made truma tame also, because it mamish was something truma in the airspace of a barrel, which is earthenware, and we learned that an earthenware barrel becomes tame from inside, not from the outside. So the Gemara says, Hamani, this goes according to Rab Hananya ben Akavya. Because our Mishnah that says this din goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya. What does he say? The only time the Chachamim said you can't carry Hegdish with Midras together is only in the Jordan River on a boat. Why? Because that's when the story took place. What was the story about the guy transporting wine? He was in the Jordan River in a boat. So the Chachamim said, okay, if that's where the story happened, that's where the Gzeira applies.
That's interesting.
So the Gemara says, so Mahi, you know, so what does it mean? What is this Hananya ben Akavya? He says, the Tanya, because we learned to the Braisa, the Yisa or the Mechatos, Zephira Chatos, a person is not allowed to take Chatos water or Chatos ashes. Now, by the Paraduma, like the Pasuk says, you have the water and the ashes. You know, you have to mix the water and the ashes and squirt the guy. So you have the water of Chatos and the ashes of Chatos. So you're not allowed to take them, V'yavidim, V'yardim, V'sfina, and transport them across the Jordan River in a boat, number one, v'layamid b'tzadzeh, and you can't stand on one side of the river, v'yizrakim l'tzadacher, and throw it over to the other side of the river. Now, you can't take a container of water and ashes of the paraduma and throw it over the river. V'layashitin apnei amayim, you cannot float them across the river. V'layirkav agabi behema v'layagabi chaveri, and you're not allowed to put the stuff on top of an animal, on top of your friend. Elim kain, unless if their feet touch the ground. Okay? Now, what does it mean? All of these cases were because of the story that happened. That's what happened in the story. Avo mavidin ala gesher, but you could take him over a bridge, ve'ein ocheshish. And you don't, it's not a problem. You know, you can't do it in a boat, you can't do it over water, you can't put it on your friend, but over a bridge you can carry it. And then he says, Echad Yarden ve'echad Shara Naharis. The truth of the matter is, any river, not only the Jordan River. So the first opinion says, it doesn't have to be exactly like the story that took place. As long as your feet are not touching the ground, the case of Tumah applies. It's only usher by the Jordan River and a boat. Why? K'maisa shahoyah, like the story that took place. That means like this. The Gemara's question was, if you're asked, like you asked, if it also by Kaidish, so that Trumit should also be no good. So the Gemara answers that this goes according to Hananya ben Akavya, who says, only the way the original story took place, that's what the Chachamim forbid. If the original story took place by Hegdish, it's only Hegdish, not Truma. If it took place by the boat and the Yarden, only on a boat and the Yarden it took place. That's it. Any other river is no problem.
What's the practical application for this? I mean, why did the side...
Nowadays, it doesn't matter.
Not nowadays. What I'm saying, though, is that... Why would they decide? What's the point of this? Just because that once it can happen again?
Yeah.
Just and it can't happen like something similar.
Right.
Is this transport
the
ashes
of the legend? Yeah, you can't transport it because that guy once did it, and it became Tomei, and because of that, they said, forget it. That's it.
Why not apply it to everything? That's why it's the last thing.
Because Hananya ben Akavya says that only the way this original story happened, that's what the Gzeira was.
So in more than a thousand...
By the way,
I just want to try to understand the reason behind that.
There's no reason.
What?
The Chacham said...
I'm trying to be lenient then.
No, the Chacham are only strict in the similar case of the way it happened. Because that's where it happened. That's when it happened, where it happened, and how it happened.
But that's like saying, well... A person accidentally one time moved 4 foot tall candlesticks on Shabbos, so they make gezeira. You can't move 4 foot tall candlesticks, but if it's 10 foot tall, you can move them.
You know what? We're coming up to the Yom Tov season. You know why Kohanim don't wear shoes when they duchen? Because one time a guy bent down to tie a shoe, and they thought he wasn't a kosher Kohen, and it became a whole problem. So he said, "You know what? That's it. No more shoes." Thousands of years, how many Kohanim duchen, right? One incident, the Chacham said, you know what, that's it, no more shoes.
Why didn't they just say, this only applies to the kind of shoes that are Nike?
I remember there's another case. There was a stampede once, because of an incident that happened, there was a stampede, the Chacham said, that's it, no more incidents like this. I mean, that's it.
And nobody was falling off to uproot this, because
they're... Right.
But I still understand. Like, for example, if the Cohen was wearing Nike shoes, how come they just made? Well, he was wearing Nikes at that moment, so only those with Nikes don't, you know, have to take off their shoes. Why not? Like, you know, why did they place everything as opposed to everything here? Why only Hekdish as opposed to Truma?
Taisus over here asks another interesting question. By the way, Taisus says, since when is the shoelace a keli to transmit Tuma?
Right. Even now we don't.
No, Taisa says that since when is a shoelace a keli? In order to transmit tumah, you have to be a keli. So Taisa's answer, one answer is that it doesn't mean the shoelace, the sandal itself fell into the airspace.
Oh, those is the sandal and the shoelace is together.
Yeah, but it broke, and therefore the sandal went.
So because it was part of it, so
right. When it comes to the laws of Tumah, because they're so stringent and so strict, the Chacham, if the Kashkocha Pratis, they became aware of this case, so they made a Gzeda that applies only in this case. So the Tanakam over here says, the first opinion, the Mishnah says, listen, if it happened by Kedish, it could happen by Tumah, it's no good, and it doesn't have to be a boat, and it doesn't have to be a Yarden, it could be, you know, anything that's not touching the ground.
Who's asking?
No, that's what the first opinion says. Hanani ben Akavya, the Bechanan ben Akavya says, no. What was the incident? A boat in the Yarden. That's it. Boat in the Yarden.
Do we know a reason why?
It should apply by Truma also. He says, no. The story is by Hegdish, by Chatos, and that's why it's only by Chatos. That's it.
Do we have a reason
for
that?
No.
That's just the way
they... That's it.
Ashkenazi
and
legumes on
Pesach.
Right,
yeah, that's...
One day they discovered there's a wheat in a legume.
No. That's not why the legumes
so why
are.
Is it,
the legumes are because you're able to make a bread out of it that looks like wheat bread.
Oh, is that why?
That's right.
that's what they allow legumes or not?
Then it's a part of
the... No, but there are other things that, Moshul, some people say those that don't use garlic and Pesach. Many people have a custom that don't use garlic and Pesach. Why? Because years ago, they say, the farmers used to dip their bread, the garlic farmers, used to dip their bread into the garlic for the lunch to get a garlicky bread. Yeah? So because of that, that's it. Today, I mean, there's no reason for it to think that it would apply, right? Nevertheless, tradition, it became tradition, so you don't use it.
People said things that the garlic field was next to the wheat.
Whatever.
So it became kilayim or whatever.
Whatever. Right. The very, I'm telling you, there's a lot of
this
different
could
reasons.
Be never ending. Just because of Christmas.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. You can't do it, and the Gemara could. No, that's the difference. I mean,
by the time you reach Mashiach, you can't do anything.
Now, but the Gemara says, what? Now, what was the story on the boat with the tumah? So he says, what was the story? So the shoelace one was not this story. The shoelace one was by Hegdish. The guy was transporting wines of Hegdish. Here the guy was transporting ashes and water from the Pot Aduma. So what tumah happened on the boat, on the Jordan River? So Gemara says, what was the story? There was a story about a person. He was transporting the ashes of the Pot Aduma and the water of the Pot, from the Pot Aduma on a boat. What happened? They found an olive size, in practical language, an ounce of a dead body, at the bottom of the boat. Okay? Yeah. Now, therefore, the stuff became tummy because it went over the size of the went over the mess. It didn't touch the mess, but it went over the mess in the boat. So then the din of tent, you know, so it conveyed the tumah. So ba'eis is sha'amru. At that time, the chachamim said, a person not allowed to take the mechatos or ashes of the chatos. The Mishnah says you can do it with a boat in the yarding. Yeah.
If they went by a cart over accidentally, can't travel it by a cart.
So you have the same thing. The vias of dam of a dead person also make your tummy.
Well, what happened? This piece of the dead person was in the water?
No, in the boat.
Oh, it was in the bottom of the boat.
It says in the bottom of the boat.
Oh. Somebody lost a finger.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly. In the olden times, it wasn't like we have today cemeteries. You buried anybody, anywhere. And don't forget, in the olden times, they had animals that used to prey on people and rip them apart. So they found body parts. So people buried them. So it could be this guy died at sea, whatever. I mean, who knows what the story was that caused it. But there was a kzayis of a mess. And because of that, the mechatos became tameh. So the Chacham said, if that's the story that happened, that's it. No more boats in the yarding with mechatos. So therefore, the Gemara is saying the same cases by truma. It doesn't apply by truma because the guy transporting the barrels of wine together with the midras was only for hegdish, not for truma. And therefore, the gzeira doesn't apply to truma. Now, the Gemara is going to ask a question. Iboilu or Shaila was asked, sandal tummy. The Mishnah was speaking about the midras, meaning a tummidika shoe. What happens, sandal tahar mahu? What happens if the sandal is not tummy, but in a ma'aretz is wearing it? In other words, the question of the Gemara is, does it mean that any shoe you can't? The way Rashi learns the Gemara's question. When the Mishnah says a tamidika sandal, you can't carry barrels of wine together. How about a sandal that's tahar?
The barrel
of
wine has to be sealed or open.
Open. Right, correct. If they were sealed, there wasn't a problem. because earthenware barrels can't become tamei from the outside. And wine, there's a famous story in the Gemara. Rabbi Yeshua was very brilliant. He was one of the rabbis of Rabbi Akiva. He was very brilliant. And the Roman empress enjoyed talking to him because the guy was so brilliant. But he was very ugly. So the empress once asked him, she was very friendly with him, she said, why did God put such beautiful wisdom in such an ugly container? So he said to her, he was smart, so he said to her, you have a wine cellar? She said, yeah. He said, what do you keep the wine in? In earthenware barrels. So he said to her, I don't understand. You're such a wealthy empress. Why didn't you put it into golden utensils? Why are you putting it into earthenware utensils? It's disgusting. Put it into beautiful gold utensils. She said, you know, I never thought of it. Great idea. She ordered her servants to take all the wine and put it into gold utensils. And it went bad. It spoiled. So she calls him in. She says, hey, what did you do? So he said to her, I only answered your question. Sometimes when God puts brilliance in a beautiful utensil, the beauty will ruin the intelligence. Yeah. Because then you become vain and void and pussed and everything. Yeah. So he said that he answered her question. So wine used to keep in earthenware barrels. So you're right, if it's sealed, we learned already in the Gemara before that earthenware vessels can't become tummy from the outside, only from the inside.
What about wooden vessels?
Only earthenware.
But it would,
everything
it,
becomes tummy from the outside.
Why would you have an open container of wine? Why would it be open?
Maybe you wanted to take a drink, I don't know.
So wood can become tummy from
yeah,
the outside?
Yeah, sure.
Same as wood.
Wood?
Because they have wooden barrels for wine.
Yeah, no, wood does become tummy from, only earthenware doesn't. Klicheris. It's a unique thing that's opposite of everything else. Or the Gemara says, oh, Chavis, the Gemara is alluding to what you said, Chavis Psucha. The case of the Mishnah was the guy's carrying an open barrel. Because what's the case? The reason is because the guy's shoelace fell into the airspace. But chav yistuma mahu. Can a guy carry a sealed barrel? Are you allowed to or not? Because the Mishnah is only talking about an open barrel. Or a third din. The Mishnah said, you're not allowed to carry midras with hegdish, right? What happens if a guy did? Does it become tummy or not? If they don't touch. Just by carrying it.
For
the Mishnah says you're not allowed to carry it. But what happens if you did?
So I'd assume Hekdesha does and Truma does.
Well, one second. No. So the Gemara asked the third question. What happens if Yutaka did carry it? Does it become Tomei or not? So the Gemara says an argument. Rabbi Ila Omar, im Aver Venasa Tomei. Rabbi Ila says, because the Chachamim said no, if you do it, it becomes Tomei. And Abzeda says, Ava Venisa Tahar, if you carried it, it's Tahar. The Chacham said, you're not supposed to do it. And the Allah is like Abzeda, that if you did it, it's not Tomei.
That goes for both.
Well, Truma anyway, you're allowed to do it.
Oh,
Hegdish, you're not allowed to do it, but if you did it, it still doesn't become Tomei. If it doesn't touch.
Oh, if it doesn't.
It doesn't touch. Then, the Mishnah goes into another din. This is already easier. The Mishnah said, any dish, vessel which was finished, okay, needs mikveh for hegdish, but not for truma. The brand new dish made by a Jew for hegdish needs to be tabled and not for truma. So Gemara said, 1 minute. Who made the dish? The gamrinu man. Who's the one that made the dish? If a Talmud Chacham made him, so lamo tefillah. Why does he need tefillah? It's tahar. A chaver is careful in all the dinim, right? It's a Talmud Chacham. So if he did it, so obviously it's not tamei. So what do you have to table it for? Ela the gamrin amaretz. So an amaretz made it. So the Gemara says nigmarim betar accordingly. You're saying it's tahar than amaretz is tamei. So the keli is tamei. And the Gemara says it's a funny din. The Mishnah said a keli that's finished in purity needs to be tabled. So the Gemara says if a Talmud Chacham made the keli, What do you need to table it for? If an amaretz made it, then for sure it's tamei. So, I mean, what's the like what's the Mishnah saying? So the Gemara says, Amar Abba Bar Shila Amar Rav Masna Meshmul La'elim de Gamrinu Chaver. A Tamar Chacham finished the keli. Why do you need to table it? Because we're afraid to know the Dama Aretz. Maybe an Amar Aretz spit in the area, and some of the spit of an Amar Aretz went on this finished keli that the Tamar Chacham made, and maybe because of the Hegdish we're so strict to make a Tamar. 1 minute. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. The Nafal Amos, when did the spit fall? Eleim emekamed the ligmeri. If the spit fell on the keli before it was completed, halav manahu, then it's not a keli. If it's not a keli, it can't become tamei. Ela basid the gamri. So we must say after he finished making it. So then, mizr zari. Why is, the Tamar Chacham is careful? Meaning, the Gemara is a very simple question. Why do we say the keli is tamei? Because an amaretz might spit on it. So Gemara says, 1 minute. If the keli is not done yet, then if you spit on it, it can't become tummy. Only a keli could become tummy. This is not a keli. So we must say, the keli is finished. But if a Tamar Chacham made the keli, what do you think? He's going to let it get spit upon by an amaretz? He's careful. So why do you need to table it? So the Gemara says, it's funny. La'el mekame de gamri. These are such weird cases that you can imagine. Where in the world does the Gemara dig this up? The Gemara says like this. The spit got on the keli before it was done. And then he finished the keli, but the spit was still wet on the keli. So it's tamei anyway. And that the Tamar Chacham wasn't careful about.
What's the story of today's keli that if a goy makes it, you have to table it? Because it's not Amaretz.
No, it's not because of Tumah. Well, there is an expression to take a mouth from the Tumah of a non-Jew to the Kedusha of a Jew. But it's not the Tumah, this Tumah.
What's it for?
Well, it's either biblical or rabbinic. But I'm saying whatever the reason is, the Torah says, we learn out from Midyan, the Surah, whatever the Torah says, the dishes have to be tabled in the mikveh. If a guy makes it, to take it out from the tumma of a guy, but not this tumma, you know, like the spiritual impurity of a guy, to the kedusha of a Jew.
If it's spiritual, I don't think of physical. I don't think of brachos and whatever physical to you.
If what?
If the guy has a spiritual tumma, why can't we just make a spiritual bracha and bring that to him?
You know, Rambam, I'll ask you the same question. I'll be Jewish. I'll ask you the same question. A guy's tamei. Why does he have to go to the mikveh?
Tamei from infection.
A guy whose tamei touches you, does he have to go to the mikveh? Why? You know, Rambam says in the laws of Tumas Mes. Rambam says at the end, he says a very interesting statement. Rambam says like this. The dead body doesn't make you tamei, and a mikveh doesn't make you tahor. God said, he says, and God said, this is tamei and this makes it untamei. In other words, it is, but what's the Rambam saying? It is so illogical, that it doesn't make sense. No, it is just completely illogical. Like, many secularized people will say, what type of thing? A woman comes in neither goes to the mikveh. What is the difference going to the bathroom? I mean, what is it, you know, why is it, what is it? You know, what is it already? It's part of the natural, biological part of the woman's, I mean, what is it? You know, it's exercise because it just becomes tummy. You're in a room with the same dead body. Yeah? You become tummy. Like, why? What happens to you? Nothing happens to you. The Torah says, you become tummy. You go into a dip. Yeah? So if it's a kosher mikveh, you know, it's good. There's one drop of water less than 40 saw. Like we learned, remember in the Gemara, two people, there's an exact mikveh, exactly 40 saw, and two people went in. Okay, so the first guy is tahard and the second guy is tamei, because the first guy took out a little bit of water with him, so now you're left with a mikveh less than 40 saw. Remember, we learned the Gemara before. The question is, 2 drops of water is really going to make you a difference? And it's such a difference that this guy becomes tahard if he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, he doesn't get killed. And this guy is still tamei, he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, he gets killed. Because of 2 drops of water? I mean, think about it, it doesn't make sense. So the guy's a midget, so okay, the water, he got covered by the water. You know, it's 2 drops less. This is the Xerus HaKos of the whole concept of Tum and Tadu, which is completely illogical. And that's what it's all about. Okay.